Greetings. Welcome to Traxión fourth quarter and full year 2022 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the conference over to your host, Executive President, Aby Lijtszain. You may begin.
Thank you for joining. Welcome. As you can see, despite global macro difficulties, Traxión once again delivered a strong set of operating and financial results. Most important is that quarterly revenues and EBITDA came in as record high in the company's history. We're pretty in line with 2022 guidance. Traxión surpassed its revenue figure. However, EBITDA margin came 130 basis points lower than our estimate. It is very important to note that fuel costs grew more than 57% in the year. Given such large impact, 130 basis points compression in margin is not material. Quite the contrary, it represents a tremendous effort and achievement from Traxión management to reduce such adverse effect and still post a very good margin. We have increased our prices to reflect such impact. Today, fuel prices are virtually in the same level as one year ago, so I feel very comfortable this year. Having said that, and before passing on to the rest of the team, I want to discuss a matter that is being addressed in virtually every meeting, conference, and event, the nearshoring trend. For us, nearshoring is a reality. We have been capturing many opportunities for some years now, and we expect a significant increase in volume derived from such trend over the following years. Currently, we estimate that approximately 50% of our revenues are related to nearshoring. Such phenomenon is a paradigm shift for Mexico, as it was NAFTA back in 1994, and it's transformational for the country. Traxión is a nearshoring pure play. The company has a large logistic footprint, an extensive cargo solution portfolio, and the absolute largest and most modern personal mobility platform to move personnel from and to factories. Furthermore, Traxión has a deep understanding of the lay of the land, together with a strong know-how and know-who. We're the partner of choice for foreign companies seeking nearshoring. Finally, I just want to highlight our 2023 guidance. We expect to grow our revenue by 16% with an 18% margin and approximately 2.2 billion pesos of CapEx. Wolf will give you more detailed breakdown shortly. We're very excited about the commercial opportunities we see ahead. Thanks for your attention. I will now hand over to Rodolfo. Please, Rodolfo.
Thank you, Aby. Welcome, everyone. There are significant operating advances that I would like to discuss. First, we carry on with our strong dynamics in the logistics and technology division. Traxporta, our digital cargo marketplace, continues to penetrate and gain market throughout different avenues. One of them is to operate increasingly more services from Traxión regular base with third parties, which at the end of the day, turns a cargo business into a technology-driven one with an asset-light approach. This has two effects. First, it fuels growth of an asset-light, technology-based platform via an organic chip of operations, serving the same clients. Second, it allows our traditional mobility of cargo segment to become more efficient by increasing the specialized services volume without the need to grow the fleet and incurring expansion CapEx, which increases prices while keeping virtually the same volume. This is exactly where we wanted to be when we launched our apps. We are running as planned and well within our expectations. Moreover, and as we have mentioned many times in the past, we expect the technology and asset-light business lines to become the majority of revenues in a few years. That is, to contribute more than 50% of our revenues by 2025. As we always say, technology is our most significant competitive advantage and represents the highest barrier of entry in our sector. This is precisely what will continue to enable Traxión to keep seizing opportunities that will arise from the nearshoring trend. Moving on, our 3PL logistics division show a very relevant expansion of more than 183 million pesos, an impressive 57.7% growth compared to the fourth quarter of 2021, excluding the pharma operations. There is a 96,000 square meter growth of warehouse area, which was mainly driven by the integration of approximately 65,000 square meters of the pharma operations, while the rest is organic growth of our regular 3PL division. Indeed, it is an important milestone as we continue to gain market share and penetrate in this service. Finally, there are other important highlights in the personal mobility segment that I would like to discuss. We started operation totally more than 300 new buses in the quarter, while advancing in our pricing strategy and expanding our footprint. Traxión also achieved a couple of technology milestones in the division. First, we launched an automatic billing system that is 100% linked to operations, which significantly increases transparency and expedites the payment process. And second, we improve our operator coordinator profiling mechanism to better monitor daily services. As you see, it was again a very busy quarter. Well, with this, I end my remarks. Wolf, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rodo. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining. First, I want to start by saying that Traxión's revenue figure is truly outstanding. Top line came over 20% higher in the quarter and 19% higher in the year compared to the same periods of 2021. To achieve that, Traxión invested roughly 3.4 billion pesos of capex, slightly above our original estimate for the year. This was mainly driven by some additional opportunities we found in the personal mobility segment, together with some investments needed to strengthen our infrastructure to properly serve the pharma vertical, and that were not considered at the beginning of 2022 when we released our guidance. However, the effect of the fuel cost softened such growth towards the bottom line. We conducted strict cost and expense controls throughout the year to offset such very large impact in our P&L. At the end, there's just 130 basis point compression in margin compared to 19% of our original guidance figure, indeed a positive feature given the size of the increase in fuel cost, which was over 50%. This represents an enormous effort from our team that, as always, did a great job. Our three business segments post healthy double-digit growth rates. Being the logistics and technology division, the one that posted the highest and contributed the most to revenue expansion. We're very excited about what we are seeing in such business lines. Moving on, during the year, we experienced continuous hikes in interest rates, which together with the additional debt we took during the year, basically double our interest expense. However, our leverage ratios are still in a very comfortable zone in line with our policy. All of that, together with the growth in fuel cost, affected the bottom line. Finally, let me go over 2023 guidance. As Ali said, we will invest around 2.2 billion pesos, of which approximately 70% will be for organic growth, mainly in the personal mobility segment, while the remainder will be allocated to renew our cargo fleet, which, as you know, is very important to keep it efficient, and to conduct some investments to strengthen our technological infrastructure, which is of paramount importance for Traxión. We estimate that such investments will result in a top-line growth of around 16% with an EBITDA margin in 18% area. Well, thanks for your attention. With this, I end my remarks and will hand over to Toño. Please, Toño.
Thank you, Wolf. I just want to briefly highlight some other important financial matters. First, we successfully conducted the pass-through to our clients, and we expect to see a margin inflection point during the first quarter of this year. Second, growth in revenues is significantly higher than that of our installed capacity, which basically means two things. One, that our asset-light division is running efficiently as expected, and two, that growth was more driven by price rather than volume. Both are very good news, especially given the global macro landscape. Third, operating cash flow increased 685 billion pesos, which represents a 25% growth, mainly due to a better working capital management. The total figure came in at over 3.4 billion pesos, slightly above our CapEx figure. The company made significant investments in 2022, both in growth and M&A. Those investments did not fully reflect their benefits in the reported period, but we expect them to kick in 2023. And fourth, net income came in lower than expected and was mainly driven by a mixture of increasing fuel costs and interest expense. However, we expect this effect to be temporary as we continue the fuel pass-through and our new companies start contributing to both revenue and EBITDA. Moving on, Traxión made significant advances in terms of ESG. There are several important milestones in 2022 that were discussed in previous quarters. But perhaps the most significant this period is that our program in Route Free Education delivered its 51st middle and high school graduates. Also, in October, Traxión received the Standard & Poor's CSA rating, which came in within the top 10% of companies assessed through a wide range of ESG metrics and indicators in line with the Dow Jones Sustainability Indices. Such rating positioned Traxión 30 percentage points above the sample average, indeed a very important improvement. It was a very successful year in every front. Traxión made significant progress in its overall strategy, and we are excited about what we are seeing for 2023. Well, with this, I wrap up my management remarks, and I will open the floor to Q&A.
Certainly. At this time, we will be conducting a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Please hold just one moment while we pull for questions. Your first question is coming from Juan Ponce with Bradesco BBI. Please pose your question. Your line is live.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. My question is on potential labor cost pressures in 2023 in Mexico, specifically on how you see the impact of these minimum wage hikes, the doubling of vacation days, and the gradual increase of employer pension contributions impacting the way you think about pricing in 2023. And also related to this question, if you can give us some type of update or expectation, let's call it, on when you think you will pass through 100% of these fuel costs to your clients. Thank you very much.
Hi, Juan. This is Abby. So, I mean, we see that the labor costs will increase related to inflation in Mexico. And we need to see that Mexico has a very competitive workforce. So, I mean, it increases every year. So we are used to that increase, and we see that it's going to be something similar that we have seen in the past years. And talking about the fuel cost, it's already passed through to the clients.
Thank you very much. So 100% of this is already passed through, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Clarify.
Thank you.
Your next question is coming from Javier Gaina with BCG. Please pose your question. Your line is live.
Hi. Yeah, this is Javier Gaina from GBM. I have a question regarding the guidance and how you where are the plans for the company in terms of the source of money for CapEx and debt payments. And so I think if I could summarize it in how are you guys planning on funding the CapEx and the operations going forward, do you think there's more room for leverage, or are you planning something in terms of getting additional capital or would it be from the source of the operations? Just to understand a little bit of how you guys thinking on capital allocation. Thank you.
Hi, Javier. Good morning. This is Wolf. In terms of our investment for this 2023, we're planning to use our free cash flow, and also a part of that we usually use some debt. So we're going to mix both lines, the credit facility that we have, and also the cash flow of the company. So we're not seeing anything that it will mix in a different way for this 2023 than the previous ones. So we're planning to make it in a mixed way.
Thank you very much, Wolf. And so just to be very clear, this CapEx guidance does not include any M&A activity, right?
Right, correct. This is only organic growth.
Okay. Thank you very much, and congrats on a great year.
Thank you, Javier.
Your next question is coming from Alex DeMichelis with Now Securities. Please pose your question. Your line is live.
Morning, gentlemen. One quick question on your margin guidance, actually. Having you mentioned that fuel prices are virtually at the same level as 1 year ago, Antonio said first quarter of 2023 should have an inflection point of margins. So trying to understand why margins should be, say, 18% for this year versus the 19% that you were kind of indicating a year ago. If there is anything structural in the company that should prevent you from reaching that 19-20%.
No, I mean, I think there are two factors. First, that the logistics and technology division is growing faster than the other divisions. And the second, it's want to be cautious because, I mean, the world it's rough. So that's why we decided to give the guidance of 18% margin.
If things continue as you're seeing today, without any kind of disruption or kind of the world falling apart or anything like that, is there a chance that we can see those margins going back to those levels then?
I think yes. Yeah, I mean, maybe close to it, because as I mentioned, the logistics and technology division is growing, but I think that they can improve.
Thank you.
Your next question is coming from Pablo Monsivis with Barclays. Please pose your question. Your line is live.
Hi. Actually, it's a follow-up question to the previous one. To what extent do you think it's structural on the growth regarding the EBITDA margin guidance? To what extent do you think it's because of the growth of logistics and technology, and to what extent is just your you being cautious about your profitability levels? That's one. The other is to have a sense of how much is going to be debt from the CapEx and how much is going to be free cash flow, because you said that it's going to be a combination of the two, but I don't know if you can share a percentage there. And that's about it. Thank you.
Hi, Pablo. This is Tonio. Good morning. Thanks for your question. I'll ask the first part of your question regarding margin. We estimate that around 70% of the margin should be from the growth and expansion of logistics and technology. That's why we are cautious with that. Because obviously that's the fastest growing segment of the company right now. It is going to be so in this year and perhaps on the coming years as well. Remember that we said always that we expect this segment to be the majority of the business, that is more than 50% of revenues by 2025. So we expect that to be a reality. And as this segment continues to grow faster than the other two traditional business lines, margins
are going to be around the 18%, or perhaps between 18 and 19%, depending on the year area. The second, I'll ask Wolf to answer the second part of your question.
Hi, Pablo. How are you? Regarding the second question, we're planning to fund the capex for this 2023 around 40% with the cash flow of the company, and 60% maybe about some credit facilities that the company has. At the end of the year, we're planning, if you see these numbers, that the company will deleverage a little bit more by the end of 2023.
Perfect. Thank you. I have one more question, if I may.
Sure.
Now, given that you expect your logistics and technology segment to be more than 50% of your revenues by 2025, what's the run rate or your expected revenues for the other two parts of the business?
Pablo, can you please repeat the question?
Yes, you expect your logistics and technology segment to be more than 50% of your revenues by 2025, right? My question is, on the other two parts, cargo and personal, what is the expected growth that you are estimating for 2025? From here to 2025, roughly.
Yes, Pablo. In terms of the other two segments, we're seeing something around 15% growth in terms of the mobility of people segment. And usually in the cargo side, we're trying to get more specialized in that segment. So we are growing a little bit slower in that division. So that's making a little bit the mix that you're mentioning.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next question is coming from Martin Lara with Miranda Global Research. Please pose your question. Your line is live.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. I have two questions. The first one is, what can we expect in terms of EBITDA margins by division in 2023? And the second one is, where do you see your leverage by the end of the year?
Hi, Martin. This is Toño. How are you? Thanks for your question.
Hi, Toño.
We are expecting in 2023, in terms of margins, we are expecting the personal mobility segment around 24-ish%. Cargo is going to recover somewhat to be around 21, over 20, which is a very good news indeed. And then logistics should be around 10%. So at the end of the day, if you take into consideration that every business segment is going to weigh around one third for 2023, that should give you something in the 18% arena.
Okay, and the leverage, Tony?
Hi, Martin. In terms of leverage, we're expecting something closer to 2x. So again, as I mentioned before, we're hoping to leverage a little bit more the company in this 2023.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Your next question is coming from Stephen Trent with Citi. Please pose your question. Your line is live.
Good morning, guys, and thanks very much for the time. I actually just had a quick follow-up. So you mentioned logistics and technology as the fastest-growing area. When I try to match the relative growth of that segment with what you're seeing in nearshoring, is it fair to say that that segment is seeing the biggest boost from nearshoring, and maybe the personnel transport division is not seeing much of an impact? I wasn't sure if that's a fair characterization. Thank you.
Hi, Steven. This is Abby. So
hey,
we're seeing a boost in all. Hi, how are you? So we're seeing a boost in all segments. Also logistics and technology, because we do the warehouse management for this companies that are getting to Mexico to the northern part, but also mobility of people, because we take the employees from their houses to these new factories, and mobility of cargo, because we move the cargo from Mexico to USA, and we have a leadership in that arena. So we see the boost in all of them, but the company, it's pushing more the growth for logistics and technology, because as we know, we don't do CapEx there. It's we see it more profitable. So that's why we're growing more.
Okay, great. I appreciate that, Avi. And just one quick follow-up question as well on the M&A side. Is it still the case that you guys would look at opportunities to do acquisitions? And and if so, what sort of minimum returns are you thinking about in a potential acquisition?
Yes, so yes, we are seeing some acquisitions. The acquisitions that we are looking for are related also to nearshoring, to add new services for nearshoring, as for example, a tax agency or something to, so we can do or improve our door-to-door service from Mexico to the States. And we're looking at these companies on the logistics and technology division. So the returns that we see there are very big, because what we do is we buy a company because we see a lot of synergies, and the main synergy that we see in these companies is commercial, or let's say commercial and financial. So when we plug these synergies, the companies that we buy, they grow a lot in the short term, and then the returns that we see are very good, and most of the, all of the times the acquisitions are strategical, that we can enter into a new service.
Okay, very helpful, and thanks for taking the time.
Thanks to you.
Your next question is coming from Hugo Barra with GBM. Please pose your question. Your line is live.
Hello, good morning. I'm just trying to understand better the cargo segment and how much of the revenue comes from specialized cargo. I would like to know also how this segment developed in the past and what do you expect in 2022?
Hi, Hugo. This is Avi again. So the strategy of Traxión is to focus on specialized services and also to high-value products. So, for example, when we transport, let's say, I will use example as potatoes, the cost of transportation is high of the from a percentage of the total cost of the products, maybe could be 20%. But when we transport electronics, the cost of transportation, maybe it's around 1% of the total cost of the product. So we are focusing on transport these high-value products that the companies prefer to have good service or the best service and to save some in transportation. And going from that, we are also focusing in specialized transportation as the whole strategic of the company. Well, we are very good in international transportation, from Mexico to the States, also to the ports, and refrigerated cargo, but also to the States. And those are the kind of services that we offer in Traxión. So I can say that the strategy is like when we use our own equipment, we do specialize. And what we are doing is the services that are not very specialized, we are sending to Traxporta, and we offer the service transportation both through the app.
Okay, very clear. Does that mean that most of the cargo segment is specialized at this moment?
I didn't hear. Can you repeat it, please?
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand the share of the specialized on the cargo segment. Does that mean that most of the cargo segment is nowadays specialized transportation?
Yeah, it's most of the cargo, I can say at least I don't know, 80-90% is specialized.
Thank you.
Thanks to you.
Once again, if you do have any questions or comments, please press star one on your phone at this time. Your next question is coming from Lucia Gomez with Compass Group. Please pose your question. Your line is live.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question.